Hello and welcome to the Field Talk podcast from the Linder Farm Network, the voice of Minnesota agriculture. I'm your host, Dan Lemke. With soybeans growing rapidly, pests like soybean aphids are becoming a bit more evident. Aphid populations don't yet warrant any sort of treatment action by farmers, but now is a good time to start scouting for aphids and other pests. University of Minnesota Extension entomologist Robert Cook joins this podcast.
Soybean is beginning to be colonized by some pests, and you know, we should all start thinking about our insect pest scouting programs, right? You know, so on a regular basis, getting out to our fields early in the season like this, you know, maybe it can be what we call kind of indicator fields. And those are probably going to be the smaller fields that are, you know, maybe have wooded areas on one or more sides, especially if there's buckthorn in those wooded areas, because these are the fields that are going to typically get colonized first by soybean aphid. You know, then keep an eye on these fields once infestations kind of get established there, you know, then you probably want to start looking at the other fields as well, you know. So kind of very early in the season, you can look at those higher risk fields, but as the season progresses, you want to expand your scouting to be covering, you know, checking all your fields ideally on a regular basis. And, you know, it's not just driving by that field or taking a look from the approach. You need to actually get out of the truck, walk through that field, and, you know, be looking at the plant, seeing what's out there, you'd be at soybean aphids, or, you know, as the season progresses, we can get other pests showing up as well.
As you mentioned, it is, you know, certainly still early, but it's good practice, good habit to get into, because if memory serves, when the time comes and they get to be a little more prevalent, they can multiply pretty rapidly. So having a handle on things ahead of time would certainly allow folks to better plan any management approaches they may have to take, but just that knowledge is power, so to speak, correct?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, just because you might get into the later season and you get aphids developing to high numbers in one field, that doesn't mean that all of your fields are gonna have that similar high level of infestation. Or just because your neighbor has high infestations in their fields doesn't necessarily mean that you will as well, right? So, you know, I just really encourage you to be scouting your various fields and, you know, making decisions based on what you're seeing in those fields.
And I know you frequently talk about the thresholds, which is the 250 per plant on 80%, and the population's increasing, and that is when folks should consider applying, because, I mean, you certainly need to steward the materials, the products that we have, correct? Is that one of the big reasons to make sure that you're not applying too soon or applying when not needed?
Yeah, that's right. And it's kind of due to multiple reasons. But first off, I just want to point out that you're correct about that 250 aphids per plant as the threshold. And, you know, we'll say with 80% of the plants infested, and that's basically just to make sure that, you know, it's a pretty widespread infestation in that field, and it's not just based on one hot spot, one cluster of aphids in that field, right? And then we want to make sure that aphid population is increasing, and we can only know that by checking that field, scouting that field multiple times, right, to see how it's changing from week to week or however frequently we're getting out into that field. And we add that on there because, you know, sometimes those aphid populations will reach a certain level and they'll just stop increasing, or they'll start naturally decreasing. And, you know, that can be due to different factors. You know, maybe there's a lot of lady beetles or other natural enemies helping to keep that population in check. Yeah, so that's the threshold, 250 aphids per plant. We typically say, you know, with 80% of the plants infested and that aphid infestation increasing. The point of that is that threshold of 250 aphids per plant, that's the trigger point to line up that insecticide application to keep the infestation from increasing to a higher level that we call the economic injury level. And that's where the insects are causing enough damage to justify the cost of the insecticide treatment or it's a level that we don't want to get to. So 250 is the trigger point. Start lining up the application. That's not where we're starting to incur yield loss yet. And what we're doing by doing that is, you know, hopefully saving money, you know, only applying that insecticide or incurring those costs only when we really need to. I think, you know, what you are alluding to is it allows us to hopefully not be overusing the insecticides, because the more we use these insecticides, the more likely we are to cause resistance in the pest population. And an additional thing is, these lady beetles, parasitic wasps that naturally occur in our fields, they're out there helping us by causing kind of natural mortality in the aphids, killing off some of the aphids. And these natural enemies are a lot of times more susceptible to the insecticides than the pests are. So if we're applying these insecticides, sure, we might kill off some of the aphids that are there, but we're going to certainly kill off a lot of these good insects. And then if any of the aphids survive in that field, or we get more aphids colonizing that field, those aphids can have a free-for-all. And we can sometimes create a situation where we end up with more aphids in areas that we've sprayed than in areas that are left unsprayed, especially if there's resistance in that aphid population. And kind of as a reminder, you know, over multiple years, multiple locations in Minnesota, we've been finding soybean aphid populations with resistance to the pyrethroid insecticides. I would encourage folks to avoid using products containing only pyrethroids for that first soybean aphid application. And it's just because I think it's too much of a gamble where too many of our aphid populations have resistance to those pyrethroid insecticides, and they're not likely to provide the control that we need.
How often do they reproduce? I would imagine that you've got multiple generations that happen during the course of a year. What's that situation like?
Yeah, so the soybean aphids spend the winter as eggs on buckthorn, so in those wooded areas around our fields. Those eggs will hatch on the buckthorn, and we'll get a few generations of the aphid occurring there. And then one of those generations of aphids will develop wings, and they'll fly from buckthorn to the soybean fields. And that's kind of already happened, right? Where we're getting soybean aphids colonizing the fields. They're still at low levels. And then within soybean, you know, we'll probably get 10 plus generations throughout the summer. And then once we get into the late summer, into fall, as the plants start maturing, as day lengths get shorter, as temperatures get cooler, the aphids are going to get cues, or they're going to develop a special winged form that will then fly back to buckthorn, and they'll eventually mate, lay their eggs, and that's the stage that'll survive the winter.
Are they like a disease where you may have a field where you frequently have problems? Are they likely to maybe inhabit the same fields on a regular basis, or is it pretty much any soybean field potentially, you know, relatively near maybe buckthorn, that any field can be susceptible?
As the season progresses, I think pretty much any field can be susceptible. Early in the season, though, when I was, you know, talking about these kind of indicator fields where, you know, early in the season like this, we can maybe focus on these higher risk fields that, again, are maybe going to be those smaller fields, maybe in the river valleys, you know, with more wooded area and buckthorn around them. Those are the ones that are probably going to get infested or colonized by aphids first, and especially the earlier planted soybean fields early in the season. But then as the season progresses, you know, those aphids throughout the summer are going to be periodically producing a winged form that can spread to other fields. And that's where, you know, I think any of our fields are potentially at risk. And what I've been seeing more lately is, you know, fields where people have gone in with an early insecticide application, you know, maybe with a herbicide application or something like that, they're already going through the field with another pesticide. You know, it might, on the surface, seem to make sense. Well, let's just put in a cheap insecticide. If any insects are there, let's get rid of them. But a lot of times what happens is, you know, there may have been a few aphids there. You know, who knows if they would have ever reached economically damaging levels. But what you're going to do with that insecticide is wipe out all the good insects that are there, the ladybugs, parasitic wasps, other things like that. So once these aphids start developing the winged form in the summer, they're moving around. If they colonize that field where you went through earlier with an insecticide and wiped out all the natural enemies, those aphids that colonize that field are going to have a free-for-all, right? They're going to have all the food they want with the soybean, but none of the natural controls to hold their populations in check. So I think that's one more reason to avoid these applications of insecticides that are not based on thresholds for any of the pests.
obviously there's a reason that you would spray for them at those economic thresholds. Yeah. I guess what's the, how much damage could they inflict upon a soybean crop if there's a heavy infestation and they're not managed?
Yeah, I mean, so some of the research that was done early on when, you know, when aphid infestations were huge back in the earlier 2000s, you know, they were documenting 40% yield loss in, you know, things in that magnitude, right? Because this pest has just an immense reproductive capacity, right? You can go from few aphids to very many aphids in, you know, not a whole lot of time. And these aphids are sucking the sap out of the plant, affecting its ability to produce those pods, to fill those seeds, things like that. So they certainly can affect yield if left unchecked. But just because you have a few aphids there doesn't mean you need to spray, because there's no guarantee that that low-level infestation is going to amount to a yield-robbing infestation, right? That's where the scouting and the threshold come in, because once you reach that 250 aphids per plant, you know, then the probability is great enough where it's very likely then that infestation will continue to increase to those problematic levels. Whereas aphid infestations below 250, it's, you know, it's less likely that they might reach those damaging levels, because, you know, there's still a chance that the natural enemies could come in and hold their populations in check.
Are there environmental conditions that they prefer, much like certain diseases certainly thrive in different conditions? Is that a factor for insects like the aphids?
Yeah. So, you know, at this time of year, there are some environmental factors that kind of work against the aphids. So just thinking back over the last week or so, in some parts of the states, we've had some really heavy rainfall, some strong winds, right? And that combination of rain and wind can really take a toll on the aphid populations on the small plants, you know? So it's very likely that as soybean aphids are colonizing some of our fields, you know, these storms may have really knocked those populations back. And then on top of that, you know, this last weekend we had the extreme high temperatures, and, you know, those temperatures are getting high enough where it was certainly going to slow down aphid reproduction, reduce their survival. However, you know, we may have had these, you know, a few different factors kind of working against them early on here, but I certainly would not rule the aphids out as a problem for the rest of the summer. Again, they've got this incredible reproductive capacity where I'm sure there's still some aphids that are surviving out there. You know, I've seen them in the various fields that I've been looking at. You know, we still have aphids out there, and, you know, if conditions line up right, they can increase quite quickly. Aphids typically like kind of the more moderate temperatures where we're feeling comfortable, you know. So in the 80s, they're doing pretty good. But, you know, once you get up into the mid-90s or so, you know, the research is showing that that's where their reproduction survival starts decreasing. And, you know, if certain other things can work against the aphids, right? If you get a lot of natural enemies like the lady beetle showing up, or if you get, you know, certain times of the year with, you know, high humidity conditions, lots of dew, things like that, you know, sometimes that can promote certain fungi, fungal diseases that can actually attack and kill the aphids. So there are certain things, conditions that are better or worse for the aphids. Yeah. You know, be scouting the fields, use the threshold. I would shy away from using products containing just the pyrethroid insecticides. After treatment, make sure you're scouting that field again to verify that whatever insecticide you did use, that it actually gave you the level of control that you were hoping for. If you need to treat the field again, make sure you switch to a different mode of action or a different insecticide group. Look at the insecticide labels. We've got the different group numbers listed there, and switching to those different insecticide groups are going to help with our resistance management plans. And if that population had resistance to whatever insecticide you used the first time, you don't want to use that insecticide again. You want to follow it up with something different, and not just a different active ingredient, a different insecticide group or mode of action.
Thanks for listening. You can find other podcasts at linderfarmnetwork.com and on Apple and Spotify. Get the latest in farm news and market information daily from your local LFN affiliate.